Haven't had a chance to share with you. 2 weeks ago, as the Julian family was leaving, and their boys are very polite, they're very, very nice. Dedley is the oldest one, and Jaden is the younger boy. I asked Dedley, Dedley, wouldn't you like to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? He said, yes, I would. And I turned to his parents, and they were looking at me, and I said, why don't you go home and tell him what you did to accept Jesus Christ as Savior? And so they did. 2 weeks ago, when they got home, Dedley trusted Jesus Christ. So, just I found out this morning. So,
are you going to baptize?
We will, yes, when the weather warms up. But you know, Nadege, that's the wife, came to me. Remember, she came to church. She did not speak a word of English. And she wanted to come and be a part. There was something special here she knew was here. And so I found French-English Bibles. I had a Spanish-English Bible that I use with Spanish-speaking people. And I found a French-English Bible. And so we began a Bible study here on Monday nights. Her husband and her studying, going through the Bible, going through the book of John and Romans, and just studying, and that's where she acquired much of her English. And so it's just so neat to see a second generation in the same family trusting the same Savior. And so that's just a great blessing. I thought I would share that with you tonight. Okay. All right, we are in the book of Revelation. We have left the past and the present behind, and we are now in a future part of the book. Last week, we saw John, a door opened in heaven, and we saw John find himself in the Spirit in heaven, and he shared with us what he was seeing. Tonight, we're going to go into chapter 5. And so the last thing that we saw in chapter 4 was he saw the 24 elders around the throne, and we were talking tonight before church. One of those elders will be the Apostle Paul, because we saw 24 elders, 12 of them were the heads of the tribes of Israel, 12 of them were the apostles, the 12 apostles that God had appointed and called. So now we come to chapter 5, and let's start with verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with 7 seals. Now the one sitting on the throne would be God. And John sees what he calls a book in the hand of God that is sealed with 7 seals. It is written on both sides. Now, he's not talking about the kind of book that we, like this one. He's talking about a scroll that is rolled up. It is printed on both sides. But because of the 7 seals, we cannot see what is written in that scroll. And so, in chapter 4, we'd seen heaven and the throne of God with the 24 thrones around it and the 24 occupants. And after that, John looks and sees something in the hand of the one sitting on the throne. And John describes it as a little book. John's description is not accurate in modern day language. What John is telling us about would be a scroll with writing on both sides of the scroll, with 7 seals keeping it from being read until the seals were opened. There, God has a time for everything. God has a time for each one of us. We have so many days, so many hours, so many years God gives us to accomplish the things he wants us to accomplish. And so John sees this in heaven. And verse 2, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?'" Now, this is sort of a before and after scene, because we will see the result of this little book being opened in chapter 10. Revelation 10, 1 through 3 says, "And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open," the same little book we're seeing here. "And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth, and when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices." So you may be wondering what this little book might be, because it's important we understand, we need to rightly divide the scriptures. And I believe that this little book are the terms of redemption. I believe what this little book in the hand of God is, the terms of redemption, the terms that he set for redemption. This is being prepared for in the book of Revelation. The millennial reign of Christ is part of that. God has always provided for the redemption of the land of his chosen people. Jesus Christ, when he came and redeemed, he redeemed our souls. He did not redeem our body. Our body has not been redeemed yet. Our body is going to go back to dust as it was created from. He has redeemed our soul. That is what is redeemed. That's why we meet here. It's because our souls have been redeemed by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is a time coming when he will redeem the creation, all of it. And that will be a time that we are all looking forward to. We know it as the millennial reign of Christ, when everything will be just like it was in the Garden of Eden. Yes, you will be able to pet the lions and the tigers, okay, and the bears. Okay. Lions and tigers and bears, oh my. That is when the creation is redeemed. It has not been redeemed yet. You see, in the book of Revelation, for us, it's very difficult. We're impatient. We want to see these things. We want these things to take place, and we want to be a part of it. He has not redeemed the creation. He's paid for it, but he has not redeemed. It's not redeemed yet. Our bodies have not been redeemed. At the rapture, our bodies will be redeemed, but not until then. Also at the rapture, when he comes back to get his church, that is when the bodies of those dead in Christ will be redeemed. They will be given new bodies at that point. So we have to keep that in mind. There is a time when these bodies, these old, achy, sickly, balding, fat bodies will be redeemed. Okay. Enough said. Okay. So this is sort of before and after. And this little book is the book of terms of redemption. And it's being cared for in the book of Revelation. You see, the Jews never really lost their land. We're reading Minor Prophets right now. We're studying them on Wednesday night. And the Jews, for many years, were out of their land. They were out of their land during the Babylonian captivity. They were out of their land during the Assyrian captivity, during the Grecian Empire, during the Medo-Persian Empire, Babylonian Empire, and finally the Roman Empire displaced them from their land. But God never intended for his people to lose their land. He promised them that he would keep their land for them. In Leviticus, going back to the Old Testament, in Leviticus 25, verses 23 and 24, God told his people this, He says, the land shall not be sold forever. For the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession, ye shall grant a redemption for the land. So as far back as Leviticus, as he was giving the law to the Jewish people, he was providing for the redemption of their land. And one day it will be redeemed, when the creation is redeemed. Revelation 5:3. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. The terms of redemption are known only to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is God, and to the Holy Spirit. But even the angels do not know what the terms of redemption are. No man or creature in heaven or on earth nor in hell could see what was written in the scroll. And I don't know why John reacted the way he did, but we need to remember that there is one who can open the seals. Jesus redeemed our souls at Calvary, our bodies at the rapture, and he will redeem the creation at the beginning of the millennial reign. Revelation 5:4. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereupon. Now, John was given certain promises, and perhaps John, having been promised a look at the things that are to come, wept out of frustration because he could not look at this little book, knowing what it what perhaps was the terms of redemption. We do not understand what the terms of redemption are. There are terms of redemption that God has said, this is what it will take to redeem the creation. This must take place before the creation is redeemed. And we are going to see some of it tonight. Revelation 5:5. And one of the elders said to me, weep not, and this is John talking, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. There is only one person in the entire universe who is able to open the seals of the terms of redemption that are on this little book. Revelation 5:6-7. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, that's 24 people around the throne, stood a lamb as if it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth unto all the earth. And he came and took the little book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. The one person in heaven that could take the book, the terms of redemption, and begin to open the seals would be the Lord Jesus Christ. John identified him as the Lamb of God. In John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming to him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And so there can be no mistake. This is the one person given this position, and that would be Jesus, the Son of God. So now Jesus is standing there with a book of redemption in his hand. Revelation 5:8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Every time I read about that, every time I see that the prayers of the saints, God keeps those as a sweet odor to him. And that's why it's important that when we go to prayer, just like we will, beginning at midnight tonight and praying around through the 24 hours of Monday, that we make sure our hearts are pure, that we have confessed our sin, so that when we come before God, he hears our prayers because he wants to save them. And what prayers you pray tonight will be part of what we're reading about right now, when he's ready to start opening the seals. And the 24 elders pour out the prayers of the saints, and they will be our prayers. So, Revelation 5:8. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts, 24 elders, fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Wherever the Lamb appears, the right response is to worship with all you have. That is the only response that we can give to Jesus. If he were to walk into this room tonight, oh, I think there's 18 of us. I think I counted 18 of us. There would be 18 dents in the floor, which would be our noses, as we would fall on our faces before him. For all that he has done, he is God. And that God collects our prayers and keeps them for an offering of sweet odor to himself. As part of their worship to the Lamb, they respond with a song. As part of their worship to the Lamb, they respond with a song. Revelation 5, 9 and 10. And they sung a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." You want to know what you're going to do during the millennial reign? You're going to be a priest or a king or a queen, and you will reign. Now, I don't know what you'll do, but you will reign. That's promised by God right here in these verses. Oh, they will reign on earth, but not until the great tribulation is over. And at this point, it hasn't even begun yet. But the tribulation is at hand. Jesus talked about it in Matthew 24, 6 through 14. Let's turn there and let's look at it so we get a little bit better detail of it. Matthew 24, 6 through 14. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." "See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Would you consider COVID-19 a pestilence? Are there earthquakes in diverse places? Charleston, South Carolina? Ladson? Okay. Think of that. This is just fulfilling what God has said is going to happen. "All these are the beginning of sorrows." Beginning, not end, not middle, but beginning. "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise," and we are seeing false prophets everywhere. One is Dr. Fauci. He is prophesying what is going to happen, what's not going to happen, and he's been 100% wrong. Okay. False prophets, folks. False prophets. "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Yes, we're seeing that. "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come." This was one group that exalted the Lamb. But there were many others. From John's description, I think that all of heaven responded. Revelation 5, 11 through 12. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Now, in case you're keeping track of these numbers, 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. 100 million angels around about the throne praising God. Think of that. Revelation 5, 13 and 14. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever." Two different entities, God the Father and the Lamb, Jesus Christ. And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that lived forever and ever. So according to what the Bible says, even those in hell will be praising God. Think about that. Every creature which is in the heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, that's every creature praising God, praising Jesus Christ. Revelation. So, chapter 5. So every creature is going to praise God. Every creature in the universe is going to praise Jesus Christ because he is worthy of praise. Now let's move into chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were a noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." Remember the four beasts that are flying above the throne with wings full of eyes. Now, they have different faces. One had the face of an ox. One had the face of a lion. One had the face of a man. And one had the face of an eagle. We don't think of an ox or a cow as being carnivorous. It is not likely to attack you. The lion, yes, he shows authority. The man shows wisdom. The eagle flies higher than any other bird. Those are the four creatures represented flying above the throne. We're about to enter the apocalypse here in this chapter. And we're going to see the four horsemen of the apocalypse. Let's see who they are. Revelation 6, 2. And I saw, now remember he has just opened the first of the seven seals. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, if you remember the last time that we looked at Revelation, many people make the mistake thinking that this person who is on the white horse is Jesus Christ, but it is not. It is actually the devil. Remember, he's a counterfeiter. He's a pretender. And you will notice he has a bow. Now tell me a little bit about that weapon. When you refer to it, what do you call it? There are no arrows. So his conquering will not be by war. That's going to be another writer. His conquering will be political. It will be by coercion, by subtleties. So this person upon the white horse is a counterfeit Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus will eventually come on a white horse, and we will read about that in chapter 19. But here in chapter 6, it is a counterfeit Jesus Christ. He wears a crown, but the devil is a counterfeiter, and he's coming to conquer. He's coming to be king of the world. When he was in heaven, he wanted to be king of heaven. He wanted to be like God. He does not represent war. That's another one of the riders that we will see in just a minute. This is a counterfeit Christ, and his conquering is going to be political. Revelation 6, 3 and 4. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." Verse 4, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat up thereupon to take peace from the earth. This is war. And they that should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. The second horseman represents war. White horseman, a counterfeit Jesus Christ. Red horse, representing war. He takes peace from the earth and brings slaughter in its place. Revelation 6, 5 and 6. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." The rider on the black horse is famine. Normally, famine does not affect the wealthy. The wealthy are able to buy the food they want. They're able to buy the luxuries they want. They're able to buy the luxurious food. And the oil and the wine would be considered a luxurious food. And so, three measures of barley for a penny. A penny was a day's wages. Can you imagine? And barley was a very cheap product. It was a cheap grain. It had very little nutritional value. But it took them a day's wages to buy a product that was lacking in nutrition, indicating that famine was to be the problem. And more, we are seeing empty shelves at the stores, aren't we? Folks, we're getting close. We're becoming very close. And it's not just in our country. Look what we've been doing for the Christians in India. Because the famine had brought on, or the pestilence had brought on the famine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Can you imagine even the animals around us will turn against us? That's what this fourth rider. So we had the white horse, the devil, the red horse, war, the black horse, famine, the pale horse, death. These are the riders that ride through the world to begin the tribulation, to begin the apocalypse. This is adding chaos to the tribulation. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O God, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. One of the things that makes Revelation very difficult for people to understand is it's not in consecutive order. Things happen simultaneously. Things happen not in order, time-wise. And we see here the altar in heaven. We see under it the souls of them who die during the tribulation. There are going to be millions of people die during the tribulation because they will resist the devil. They will not worship the beast or the image of the beast. And for that, they will give their life. We will see as we get further in the mark of the beast upon people. These people refuse the mark of the beast. There was a time when I remember the discussion among Christians when they wanted to assign everybody a social security number. And to begin with, there were those who speculated that that was beginning the sign of the beast. That's not the sign of the beast, because it's not worldwide. But the beast will be worldwide. He will be in charge of everything and everyone. So, after all these things happen to the people to start the tribulation, we see here that all of these Christians will be killed, and their souls will be under the altar in the temple of God in heaven. It will be millions, literally millions. This part of the tribulation will last 3.5 years. The tribulation itself will be 7 years. That's what John sees, that's what he tells us. And in the middle of the tribulation is when the Antichrist will present himself as God. He will take over the temple and he will have himself worshiped as God. And that will begin the great tribulation period. This is just the tribulation. This is just getting started. Chaos is beginning to reign clear all across the world. And the Antichrist will come supposedly with a solution for it. But there will be souls slain during that time. Now, we will not be there. We don't need to worry about that. None of us are going to be there. When the rapture occurs, we're going to go to meet Jesus, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That's what we looked at last week. And so that's what is the next event that you and I are looking for. We are looking for the rapture of the church, the taking out of the church. The souls of the slain during the tribulation for refusing to worship the beast or the dragon. There is some confusion because not all of the parts of Revelation, like I said, are in consecutive order. And so this will actually be seen a little bit later during the tribulation, but we're told about some of these things before others that happen later. The souls under the altar will be slain. throughout the early part of the tribulation. God is not going to ignore what happens to his children. These souls under the altar are asking for God to take vengeance. Remember, God is the one who says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." You and I are not to take vengeance. God will take vengeance on our behalf. And so this takes place, and they are seeking vengeance. The souls of them are seeking vengeance, wondering why God is delaying taking vengeance upon those who have killed them. Sometimes we think that evil is going to get away with whatever's going on. We see evil happening all around us, and people are getting away with it. And we wonder, why does God permit that? He permits that because his plan is not completely worked out yet. Revelation 6, 12 through 17. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as figs casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Some of these things will happen at the end of the tribulation. Yes, the seals are being opened on the terms of redemption. We are seeing some of the requirements before the terms of redemption can be put into practice. But yet, there are other things that will take place. We're going to read them. We're just getting started, actually, in the book of Revelation. Jesus talked about this time in Matthew chapter 24. Chapter 24 tells us a lot about the future things that are going to be happening. In Matthew 24, we already looked at a previous passage in Matthew. That was Matthew 24, 6 through 14. Now we look at 29 through 31. Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, do you notice he's not talking about gathering us from the earth at this point? He's talking about gathering us from heaven. This is in preparation for his coming to conquer the Antichrist. And we will see that take place in chapter 19, not here. But Jesus told us about this in Matthew chapter 24 while he was still here upon this earth. When an earthquake occurs, when a volcano erupts, it causes dust to rise up into the sky, and you are unable to see things like the sun, like the stars. I said that we would try and take Revelation literally as we could. There's this one thing in this passage and in the passage in Matthew that we cannot take literally, is we now know that the stars are suns. For many of them, there are planets revolving around them. They are not little specks that can fall to earth like snowflakes. But they will all fall to earth because everything will be destroyed. I want to jump ahead. We have to do this. We have to jump ahead. Turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We have to look ahead to keep in mind how some of these things can be. We have been told that everything will disappear. Look at the first verses. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. That's what it's talking about here. And there was no more sea. Beaches are gone. No more beaches, okay. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Folks, I have no idea what the new heaven is going to look like. I have no idea what the new earth is going to look like. We do not have the vaguest idea, but God is going to recreate everything. Everything. New. And that's where we are going to spend eternity with Him. So that's just one of the things that we have to be aware of. What it's talking about here, the stars falling from heaven, they will, because the heaven will be destroyed. In some cases, it sounds like this might be a nuclear disaster of some sort. Again, we don't know. We know it's a possibility. So we have to trust God. This is where we have to have faith. Like we talked this morning, faith to faith. We have to believe that God is able to do these things. Even at the beginning of the tribulation, arrangements are being made for the end of the great tribulation, and it ends with what we are reading about in chapter 21, okay? The heaven and the earth will be destroyed. Jesus is gathering all the saints out of heaven, from one end of heaven to the other, to bring with Him on white horses to watch Him conquer the Antichrist, to watch Him change everything. An early prophecy of Isaiah, we have this time prophesied, Isaiah 34, 4 and 5. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as a leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from a fig tree. For the sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Edomah, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. So this is not in consecutive order at this point. We are seeing things happen here, things happen over there. And so that's why the book of Revelation can be very confusing. We've got 5 minutes. Anybody got any questions or any comments? God has given, yes.
Okay, when you said there's going to be a new
No. Because we jumped to chapter 21. In chapter 20, at the end of the millennium, there is the great white throne judgment where hell gives up all of the dead that are in it. And they stand before Jesus Christ to be judged for what they have done, for their sin that is not covered by the shed blood. And there will be different levels of torment in the lake of fire. Now, everyone whose name is not written, I'm paraphrasing what chapter 20 says, everyone's name that is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be consigned to the lake of fire, where we will have the political beast that we will read about, we haven't gotten anywhere near it yet, and the religious beast, and the old dragon, which is Satan, and they will all be cast into the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever. So will every soul in hell. So they will be then cast into the lake of fire. And then at that point, after that great white throne judgment, we come to chapter 21, where it says that he creates a new heaven and a new earth. The people in hell have already been taken care of for eternity. Does that answer your question? Right. We will still have the lake of fire. The lake of fire will be a place of punishment. Any other questions? Yes, Michael.
The coming of the Antichrist with the opening of the first seal, and then we go on then to the second, third, and fourth, and subsequent seals. Is the Antichrist going to be bringing peace, ostensibly, prior to the midpoint of the tribulation?
The Antichrist will not be bringing peace, because there's only one source for peace, and that is the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit will not be involved in this. The Holy Spirit brings love, joy, peace. That's part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The Antichrist will be bringing anything but peace, the opposite of peace. He is a great counterfeiter. He's going to counterfeit peace. I don't know with what, but he's going to try and make peace. He's going to take over the entire world, everything that we know of.
But he will encourage or assist or demand Israel construct a third temple.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
Will he be involved in the construction of a third temple in Jerusalem?
Yes, he will be. He will be. Yes, that is correct. He gives Israel permission to construct the temple during the beginning of the tribulation period. And they will build it, they will worship in it during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Israel will be content thinking that they have resolved their differences with the rest of the world. They will be building that temple on the site where there is now a Muslim mosque, Dome of the Rock. And they will worship in that temple for 3.5 years, the first half of the tribulation. And then the Antichrist will go in and offer himself as God. And he will have them worship him for the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. They will be a part of, and they have not appeared yet. We're getting very close to where we're going to see them. But the next thing we're going to look at next week, we're going to look at the sealing of the 144,000 Jewish young men who are virgins. They have never known a woman. And they are going to be the representative of Jesus Christ during the tribulation upon this earth. They will follow him, and they will represent him. They will represent everything that is good, and that they are partially responsible for those souls that we see under the altar right now, of leading them to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and refusing to worship or accept the Antichrist. Those two witnesses and their speculation as to who they are. There are two men that we know, and we are going to go ahead, we'll go ahead and get ahead of it anyway. There are two men that we know have never died. And we are told in Scripture, it is given unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Two men, Enoch and Elijah. They will probably be the two witnesses, because the two witnesses get put to death during the tribulation for 3.5 days, and then they stand upon their feet and come back to life and ascend to heaven. And that's when the world goes sort of freaks out. Yes?
The Antichrist is alive today. Is he Middle Eastern?
We don't know he's alive today, Becky.
Really?
That's right. And let me tell you why we don't know he's alive today, because no man knows the day nor the hour. And that means that there could be 100 years or 200 years yet to go. We don't see, when we look at it from our viewpoint, man's viewpoint, we don't see how it could last for that period of time. If he is alive today, we do not know who he is. God does, because God is omniscient. He knows all things. But we will, the Antichrist will be recognized as the Antichrist during the tribulation. We are not in the tribulation yet. I think we're approaching it, but I don't think we're there yet. And that we also have some information about where the Antichrist will come from. He will be a person, a human being, empowered by the devil. There's a lot of people being empowered by the devil right now. But the Antichrist is going to come from one of the Mediterranean countries. We have little bits and pieces that we know about him. And
would the Antichrist have to be someone who was acceptable to the Jews?
Yes.
So would he have to be a Jew, or necessarily just a descendant of Abraham?
You've got another whole branch that descends from Abraham. There was Ishmael. And so in all probability, he'll be an Arab. He would be a descendant of Abraham, but he would not be in the godly line. Some of this, I don't know, Michael. I can't answer it. But we'll work at it.
Are the gates of hell in the Middle Eastern city?
Faye, did you have a question?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
So much.
What's that?
That's what we learn something new all the
time. Yes, we do. Every time I have taught this book, and I've been teaching it since 1978, every time I have taught the book, I have learned something new. The Bible's a living book. That's why we need to study it.
Are the gates of hell in the abyss of the Mediterranean?
What's that?
Are the gates of hell?
No, there are no gates of hell. It's referred.
Can he go down to the key and unlock the abyss down there?
Where does it say that?
I thought you said it one time. No.
Jesus has, when we see him here in the book of Revelation, he has the keys of heaven and hell in his possession. And so he is able to open either one. But as far as the gates of hell, you can go to hell from any place on this earth. There is no train or bus, okay? All right, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, we are so grateful that you have given us a glimpse. And Father, we know nothing without your Holy Spirit leading us, without him helping us to rightly divide your word of truth as you have told us to do. As we meet here on Sunday nights, Father, there are things that I do not understand, but I would ask you to send your Holy Spirit to help us to understand, that we might be able to use those things in service to you. Everything we learn here, Father, everything we do here, may it be according to your will. And Father, may it be at the leading of your Holy Spirit. Use us, Father, to glorify yourself, to accomplish your purpose here on earth. And Father, sustain us, empower us, and most of all, help us to love those who are lost around us, that we might share your love with them, that they might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ also. Thank you, Father, for this time we've had here tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.